This is RSBNB Update, episode 577, SOS, the State of Skills. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. This week, you're going to be getting a little bit of a special edition of RSBNB Update because it is summer vacation time, and I am away off doing something that is more fun than sitting at a computer. So,
nonsense.
Well, what's more fun than sitting at a computer? Come on.
Exactly.
Nothing is more fun than recording the show. Let's be honest, Shane.
Absolutely. I
I've had the wonderful pleasure for doing it 3 months, and I can say that I would rather be doing nothing else.
Okay. I appreciate that vote of confidence. Oh. And, you know, that's entirely true. Last year at the RuneFest episode, in the span of one day, I did a 3-hour RuneFest podcast recording, and then probably another hour and a half worth of side interviews after that. So that was all in one day for 1 week. So I kind of liked it after that. But anyways, Dave is here this week. You might
have
noticed him conspicuously missing from last week's combat recording. But that's just to give Dave a break because we were doing 2 episodes in 1 week.
Yeah, it's so, by design, you know, combat. Oh, we don't want that. No, I'm just kidding.
And also joining us to discuss skilling is Pernasius, who you guys might have heard in his question submissions in the past. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, everyone knows you from your audio questions and, of course, more recently your forum posting about your thoughts on the mining and smithing rework, which is kind of what we're going to be discussing today, but in a much wider net. And I thought that's what would be interesting to have you on the show.
Yeah, it has the potential of being a great update if they do it right, but we'll get into that a bit further on as we talk, I guess.
Yes, indeed. So I think that we can all agree that RuneScape as it is and is in a very unique position for most games. When you look at most other MMOs, World of Warcraft, Star Trek Online, the core part of the game is, you know, leveling up to the end game level, where at that point you can take part in end game activities. And since the very beginning, RuneScape has been designed about the journey of you getting to end game and maxing out your various skills, quests, and achievement diaries in game. So that has shifted us to a very interesting position in the last couple of years with the release of Priftinus and, of course, the first the 99 capes way back when, then the 120 capes and max capes, and then the hunt that everyone goes for at some point, max completionist and then trim completionist capes. So that's kind of feeling what endgame is in RuneScape currently, and that has kind of put spotlight on the skills in game that aren't combat related and led a few of us around the podcast here to ask an interesting question about a number of skills in game. And that is, are our non-combat skills still useful today given the current state of the game and what everyone's going for? So that's what we're going to be discussing this week. So before we get too far down the track here, either you guys have any firm guesses out of how many of the skills we're going to be discussing are actually going to be turned out to be useful percentage-wise?
I'd say probably 10%, three of them.
Okay. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little bit more generous. I'm gonna say at least 25%. Just recently, you know, seeing a lot come up, and they have been reworking stuff. Definitely not the better part of skills. But I think there'll be a little bit more, but there's can always be improvements. But, you know, just baseline useful, I think there'll be a decent amount. So we'll see.
All right. Well, the hypothesis for this episode then is as follows. Very few of our non-combat skills are useful beyond training for reaching level milestones. So that means 99, 120, max account, completionist, trim, and so on. So then the question must be asked is, are these skills useful? And if not, what would ultimately make them useful. So that's what we are going to attack on this episode by effectively answering, is a skill useful? And we have a number of criteria that might evolve along the path of this episode, including enhancing another skill in such a way that that skill cannot be trained without components of the skill in question, or providing a direct benefit to combat in a way that's not available by way of drop or player trading. And of course, both of these include the Grand Exchange. And in the event that the skill in question provides core components to another skill, but these components can be found in trade or by drop, special considerations will be given to these skills that they might be useful, or depending on how large the quantities they are dropped in, that may also have an impact. And also, moving through this, we're going to be looking at PVM drops on certain skills, whether or not that has, you know, a chilling effect on the skills higher up in the chain, so to speak. Also, what prevents this skill from being useful? And is it caused by a lack of updates on Jagex's end? Or have the players just moved on to other areas of the game, either by their own volition or something else in game that might have triggered that? And finally, what can be done to rework this skill? So that's kind of what we hope to accomplish here. You guys have any questions about the criteria, or want to inform the listeners about any kind of personal observations you'll be putting in play here?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory, and just one of the personal observations I make is the influence of PVM drops, and we'll touch on it as we go into each skill, but as a general view, I think we do too many primary drops from skilling from Slayer monsters and bosses now. We saw when God Wars Dungeon 2 was released, the price crash on coal and such, and we've seen the effect on herbs, lantodimes, and dwarf and torstal. Just how much they have crashed in the market over the last 6 or 8 months. So
yeah,
but again, we'll touch on those when we sort of get to those areas.
All right. Anything from you, Dave?
One thing that's come to mind, it's been a bit of a, I guess I could call it an issue, with, said drops being for each skill. But one also has to think, if this were to be combated, pun intended, that, getting rid of these, types of drops from these certain skills would obviously significantly decrease the profit you get from, let's say, Slayer, boss drops, because a lot of boss drops, let's be honest, you're not making your money off of, a Nox staff drop. Sure, it's nice, but what you're really breaking even on and paying for more of your supplies are the herb drops, are the seed drops, what have you. So, you have to be careful, sort of implementing a different way for a skill to be useful without relying on PVM, because when you're PVMing, those drops that are used for skills are a crucial part of the economy. So that's really something that needs to be looked at and carefully analyzed. But I'm not necessarily sure we're going to get too deep into that, but just something to keep in mind. It's not as simple as saying, hey, we're not going to drop seeds anymore. We're not going to drop herbs anymore. We're not going to drop ore anymore, because that is by volume what is really the bulk of the profit of doing Slayer and stuff like that. So anyway, that's just kind of my two cents on the deal. And that's just something that goes a little bit deeper, but anyway.
Alrighty then. Well, we're going to start off by kind of covering a bit about what the mining and smithing rework is going to look like, and how that can kind of play into what we're expecting from the other skills going forward when that arrives later this fall. So you guys might have been listening to a previous episode of RSBNB Update where I have said that the mining and smithing rework is essentially a field test at one way of reworking the skilling system, and of course the construction rework will be another way should that get put into game next year by way of player survey. So the mining and smithing rework effectively rebalances mining and smithing so that the current rune items are at level 50 and they are in line with what we have on the combat equipment side. And then following from that, there are new ores for levels 60, 70, 80, and 90 that create various equipment pieces and will allow these equipments to be used in PVM, albeit at a reduced tier from their drop PVM counterparts. So that, I think, is the nutshell of mining and smithing, with a few mechanical tweaks here and there for the way rocks work and whatnot.
Right. I mean, I think basically, you know, what they're getting at, as with any other MMO of the like, is it's basically a stat squish. You know, it's a stat squish, and we're getting the holes filled in, which I think is essentially the best approach at this. Because obviously, if we squish everything down to be in line with the combat table, you know, our highest ore is going to be mined at, you know, 40. And at that point, you're probably still in the crafting guild mining gold. but anyway, yeah, they're filling in the gaps, and they're, you know, making it an entry tier into PVM. But one can argue, why isn't it completely equal? But yeah, I mean, that's basically, and that's what a lot of the skills are going to need. I hypothesize is, you know, we're going to need to squish them down to sort of cater to the higher level players, because obviously that demographic is becoming more and more prevalent, you know, as the years press on. So
right. So I think that going forward, we can look at the mining and smithing rework as in it is a fix such that right now the smithing skill does not provide anything useful for someone who is developed in game. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then the mining rework will then work with the smithing skill to allow the updated smithing skill to provide this to the players. And that essentially fills our tick box of making a skill useful, in that it provides something that you will not be able to get by way of combat. Now, Dave and I have talked about this on the show at length, but Parnassius, what do you feel about the mining and smithing rework as it was laid out in the preview we got?
As it was laid out, I mean, it's great to see. However, I think they're just creating more really dead content. I mean, people are just, I mean, they're not going to use a tier, you know, 70 set of armor that is worse than the tier 70 armor that they're going to get cheaply from
Barrows God
Wars Dungeon.
God Wars,
yeah, that's right. You go to God Wars, I mean, you can get a full set of Grador's drops now, the Bando set, for under 10 mil. It'll be good for Iron Man. But,
sure.
I mean, you know, they're about the only ones who are going to get their smithing up to use that as a regular thing. What I think they've missed out again here, and they did their own survey on the front page of the RuneScape official website not so long ago, and it had, I think it was 55% of people don't boss.
Yep, I remember that.
So, point. Yeah. Yet we're making a whole lot of content for less than half the community. What happened? We've got invention now. Why are we just making armor for fighting? Why aren't we making a fletching set of arms and legs that we can augment, or a woodcutting set, or, you know, a fishing set? So people,
I got a dirty answer for that.
Yeah, I know what your dirty answer is.
It's on Treasure Hunter right now.
Absolutely.
Well, that's right, but that gives you bonus XP. What I'm talking about is something that is going to enhance your invention. So for people like myself who have 99 in all skills, but I want to get my invention up to 120, I can then make a fishing outfit. Then I've got the choice whether I use my shark suit for the bonus fishing XP, or I use my the smith outfit that I've made to get the augmentation done to lift up my invention. And this is where I think they're really, you know, they keep letting down the skilling side of the game. Yeah, they were shocked when mining and smithing came so high in last year's poll. It's a skill.
Yeah.
There are a hell of a lot of people out there who love just skilling, and this game is so unique in the way it does its skilling. It's always gone hand in hand. Combat and skilling have worked together, but, you know, since EOC, they've really put a big divide there. And I think the main reason for that is they're trying to appease all the combat people, you know, all the EOC haters, you know.
Yeah.
So they're just giving them everything all the time. And the skillers, because, you know, we're not a vocal minority like that side of things, we get the leftovers. And I really think we need to equalize that more.
Yeah, and I mean the evidence is right out there. Last November Slayer Month, nobody was fighting those creatures because they didn't drop what the players deemed as viable. And you know, in some ways, that's precisely what is causing the problems with some of these skills. So, you know, I completely understand where you're coming from with the mining and smithing rework. I think that your ideas of skilling outfits and your fishing idea for invention is really great. And, you know, it's just too bad we didn't see anything like this in the prototype. Because, I mean, sure, you could say, oh, you could use crafting for that or something. But, I mean, there's no reason why it can't be done with a metal or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, that's right, and that's what I mean. Ideally, you would use something for crafting, and maybe, you know, we do a metal top and we do sort of crafted dragon hide legs down the track or something like that. But let's do something for skillers as well as the PVM community.
Yeah, totally agree. So, do you think that with the mining and smithing rework? Now, that's a question to both of you guys. That as it is right now, do you feel that the core components that are involved in the mining skill, so that the ores and whatnot, are overly polluted by PVM? We already know that the smithing side is overly polluted by PVM, treasure trails, you name it.
I think... Oh, gosh. I want to say yes and no. Because I'll say what I think is acceptable. I think we all know that coal is essential in making all types of bars, right? Yes. So I think that coal is acceptable to be a drop because you're going to need, or as of now you need, quite a bit of coal for the higher level bars. And that's, you know, the ratio is, you know, 4-1, 6-1, 8-1. And I'm assuming it's going to be even higher for the, you know, the new ores are going to release. So that's almost kind of like a, you know, fuel, or, you know, kind of how we're using energy now for invention. That's almost just kind of like a universal fuel for smithing. Exactly. So that, I think, is a lot better being dropped in mass amounts than say, oh, I went slaying and I ended up picking up, you know, 300 adamant ore. I think that's a little too much, you know, for that tier of ore. I think it definitely needs to scale. You know, you shouldn't go and do a, you know, abyssal demon task, and pardon my, you know, lack of knowledge, but I'm not sure that they dropped this, but, you know, you shouldn't be able to go on a slayer task and get, you know, 100 rune ore when in game skilling that could take you anywhere from 2 to 5 hours, because there's not that many rocks and the respawn rate is so, you know, so long. The time and effort put into the skilling side versus a combat side in terms of a mining is definitely way too separated, in my opinion.
All right. But how about you, Pern?
Yeah. And again, secondaries, I don't mind being dropped from the monster. So when you say coal, yes. In the new rework, coal will only be used up to rune still. I believe you won't need it for the new ores. I believe they did say, I'm just trying to remember, I'm pretty sure that they did say that. However, I would class coal as a secondary, and the, you know, the ore itself, as in rune, addy, etc., as the primary. It's the primary drops that I think are really devaluing everything. I mean, if you look at Addy Ore now, it's under, I think it's under 900 GP for Addy Ore. Now, 6 months ago, it was, you know, it was well over the, I think it was up to about the 2 to 2100.
Adamant Ore is currently 909 GP.
Yeah.
And going back 6 months, it was 1194, 180 days ago.
So it's dropped just a couple hundred. I thought it was more expensive than that. But still, we're seeing more and more of that happening. And what I would like to see is maybe drop more, you know, the ore, maybe not so much, but the actual completed bars. I mean, you know, you can go down an AFK in Armadale's dungeon and pick up, you know, 100 ores in half an hour.
And that was going to be my prime example for the smithing skill and the mining skill, how that's polluted, because those drop the ores and the bars, which that's is Addy. Exactly. And let's remember, 88 smithing currently gets you an Addy plate body. This is one of the fastest ways that you can smith out there. And if you can just go camp for a few hours a day, well, there's your smithing for the day, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And we look at the rune dragons as well, and this is another thing, how many bars they drop. Now, if they just drop rune ore, I mean, mining rune ore is not a viable way of training anyway, because as they've said, there is so little out there. So I don't mind the actual ore being dropped, you know, from something like the Addy dragons and the rune dragons, but they drop so many bars. And as they come into the mining and smithing rework, I mean, they're bringing, you know, mining a plate body is going to go from 99 down to 59. So you're going to have so many more people being able to make that. Now, then you go and high elk that for 40K. Can you imagine how much money is going to come in if they continue on this path?
Whoops. Well, I mean, that's a perfect time, I guess, in the spring for a construction rework then.
Absolutely.
But it is a problem. I can see that. So this is essentially what we're going to be doing with the rest of the skills. And as you can see, mining and smithing is already out there as kind of an example to this, but we're already finding problems with our cross-examination of the skill. So,
and I think, and as we said, the biggest problem is that it's always catering to PVM.
Uh-huh.
Every update is always PVM first. Oh, okay, is there something we can throw a bone to the skillers for? Now, I class myself as an all-rounder. I love bossing. I love Slayer's my favorite skill. But I love just kicking back and just skilling as well. I mean, I love everything in the game. You know, questing is my favorite part, obviously. But, you know, all the skills, because it is so unique, and I don't want to see that ruin and just become, you know, we skill up to get our max cape and then we just PVM and do nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of feels like that's what the end game is shaping up to be. But... So with the mining and smithing rework, we already know what prevents a skill from being useful, and that's just the fact that it's so inaccessible to, you know, smith Addy plate bodies and rune plate bodies. And then when you do get the chance to smith them, oh, they're useless. They're for level 50s, and they are abundantly available in the economy as it is already. So I think in this case, we can just put this to a case of age and lack of updates by Jagex, and that's why we're seeing the mining and smithing rework later this year. Now, we've talked quite a bit about the mining and smithing rework so far. So, Pern, do you think that the mining and smithing rework will accomplish what it's set out to?
Partially.
Okay. Care to elaborate?
It will open up, you know, more stuff for people, and I think initially you're going to see a lot of people making this armor. It's going to be a good throwaway armor. I mean, maybe this will help revive the PvP community, where they're going to have sort of a better grade of throwaway armor rather than just going out there with rune and such. You know, for people, yes, there are still a lot of mid-tier players who can't get their hands on you know, Nex armor or Ports armor or anything like that. So those tier 80 and 90 armors there will help them out until they reach those higher levels. But, yeah, it's filling I don't want to say a niche, but it's filling a small purpose, but not as great as it could be.
All right. Now, one last mining and smithing rework thing before we go on to our other skills. Either of you guys heard about the differential in tier that's going to be involved? I know they said that tier 70 would be like a tier 63 PVM drop, but have we heard about any of the other ones?
I thought they said the T90 is going to be like an 84. Okay. I thought they said it's going to be around 6 or 7 levels lower, I believe.
All right. Well, I mean, that's not bad, because, you know, tier 85 ports armor is excellent. Tier 85 ports weapons are also excellent, so.
Yeah, well, that's my main armor is my ports armor.
Yeah, see, same.
There again is another thing, and sorry to sort of keep going on and talking too much, but it's another option that they had with Telos. They released that way too early in, we just got God Wars Dungeon 2, we're just getting used to that, and then they bring out the Telos, the mm-hmm. sort of the next of God Wars Dungeon 2. That could have waited a little while, come out with the smithing and mining rework, and have the weapons drop as a base weapon
yep.
at level 88, and then have something that you go and smith yep. And this this new mining update, say that they're level 90 ore that they're doing, they could have had a rare chance of getting a corrupted ore, which you can mm-hmm. then smith and add on to the weapons that they're coming out and raise it to the 92 that way and have it degradable. So it gives the people who want to fight the bosses and get those drops, they'll still make their money, but it gives smithers something to do. And, if a player is an all-rounder and they've maxed all their skills, they can make it themselves. But there are so many PVMers out there who have such low non-combat skills, and force them to buy those things to make it to lift it up that way. Or they can train their skills and do what the game is designed to do.
I have been advocating for this for I don't know how long. It feels like since the first God Wars dungeon came out, for a drop mechanic similar to this. And, I mean, the closest thing we've got was the tier 90 power armor where you get the components.
Right. I was just going to say the malevolent energy and whatnot. Yeah. Yep.
And that's a perfect idea. I mean, it's probably not a perfect idea. They could have had more like the base where they do in God Wars Dungeon, where you get the dormant armor and then you get the attachments to it. But I'd like to see attachments coming from the skilling side as well.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
Me too. Either or would be good. And some combination of that, you could create some really interesting dynamics. But
yeah.
All right, so there's our rehash of the mining and smithing rework, and kind of what we would like to be able to say is coming for all the other skills. So some of these skills are going to be quick. Some of them are going to require a bit more intense discussion. So here we go. First up is magic. So magic has combat and non-combat components. We are, of course, going to focus on the non-combat components here, specifically Saren spells, Lunar spells, and any of the old-fashioned skilling spells that have been in existence since RS Classics. So is magic as it stands right now in the skilling sense useful, Mr. Parnassius?
Skilling side? It's hard to say. Skilling side, I mean, obviously you've got the invention, but we're not talking about the invention side. High elking, to high elk your drops and such, yes. But again, that's sort of more
your high like elk generally utility.
Exactly. You're doing that when you're fighting anyway. On the lunar side of things, your plank mate costs you more to do it that way than to run up and just do the sawmill in Burthorpe. The only really useful spell I find is the teleport to Trollheim because it takes me straight to my farming patch there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've opened it up and I'm just having a look. Monster Examine, Cure Other, Cure Me. I mean, none of these are actually Stat Spy. You don't need that anymore because you just look at someone, you've got the Examine now straight away. Dream spell, you regenerate it 10 times their normal rate, but no one's going to use that in fighting because it's on a different book altogether. There is really I'm just going through them, and there is not really a useful one there at all. The teleport skill, really, you've got your plank make, as I said, that is cheaper to do it the other way anyway. Tune Bane Ore, okay, that is a useful one if you fight dragons and such. Yep. Make leather, fertile soil, it costs so much to cast that.
And I mean, any real farmer is going to have their own super compost.
Compost, exactly. So, I think overall as a non-combat skill, it does leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah. What about the Saren spells? I know that Crystallize and Crystal Mask are good. Rapid Growth, also interesting. Once per day per patch to skip a growth phase if you are wanting to speed up that farming. So, I mean, this is magic, and I would class these as skilling, even though they're in the ancient spell book.
that rapid growth, I think, is a useful one. I thought that when I first read it, I thought it was on one patch only, and I thought, what a waste of time, because you're just going to throw you're going to throw your growth cycle out. But that it is, on every patch, you can do it once. That can save you, what is it, 80 minutes, I think it is, on a tree?
Yep. More if you're doing it on a Calquit
or something
in line with that.
Yeah. So, but again, and the other skills there really are just to get you faster XP. So is it an actual use in game? Yes, you can train your skills quicker, but although I think the crystal mask actually stops them from the elves from catching you so quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just stacks with, the aura and whatnot as well. And the Traherne exoskeleton. So I think, based on this, I am comfortable with calling the higher level, at least the Saren spells useful, probably not the Lunar spells. I don't know from the questing side of things what you guys think, but I think we were scammed out of a Fremenic quest last year, and we could entirely have an entirely new Fremenic quest where we could get an update to the Lunar Spellbook.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to say yes and no on this one. Yes on the Saren spells, the high end, particularly the skilling ones, and no on most of the Lunar ones. So how about you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer, is it useful? Absolutely. Is there room for improvement? Most definitely. I don't think it's in desperate need of anything. I don't think it's in desperate need of attention above any of the other skills we're going to talk about. I think it's fine. I mean, it's not like, hurting, but it's also not, game-breakingly amazing. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few Lunar spells that I really do like. We have the, Repair Rune Pouch. We have the Plank Make. I use Fertile Soil a lot. Humidify for anybody that's wants to get the magic XP instead of just buying it off the GE. A way to fix some of the Lunar spells is take some of the cost off, maybe reduce the rune cost, especially with Plank Make. Take the coin requirement off, and then that'll, encourage people to actually, get the runes, maybe increase the rune market or make your own runes. Be an incentive to be able to just train it at the bank and not have to, do the balloon runs to the sawmill. Short-winded answer is yes, it's useful. But, of course, as you both have stated, there's definitely room for improvement, especially within the Lunar school. So.
All right. Anything else on magic before we move on to a related skill?
I think that pretty much covers it.
Pern, you good?
Yep, I'm all good.
All right. So, of course, leading off from magic, it nicely is one of Dave's favorites, runecrafting. So,
indeed,
runecrafting has become, I think we can all say it, the runespan skill, in you spend most of your time in the runespan. And the question is, do we need to classical runecraft at any point in the future of our RS character? And I think the safe answer is, coming back to the age-old PVM argument once again, is that if you do enough PVM, you can likely find enough runes. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a crazy amount of runes in the economy. And I would put a lot of money on less than 1% of those have actually been crafted at an altar. Jumping straight in, is it useful? Yes, but it's not being used for the intended purpose. People that are getting runecrafting up, they're obviously either doing runespan just to get the level up, which is probably the better half of, 95% of the population, training runecrafting. The other is, of course, making the one or two runes that are profitable of the month, or, that are making a profit in the month, to solely just doing them to make money to sell them off into the, mass supply of runes that we're getting from PVM. Is there room for improvement? Yes. And they did sort of I guess, attempt to nerf RuneSpan. You know, obviously it is no longer the fastest experience in the game. That has been trumped by, I forget what the item is called, but you get the skull from the guy.
It's like a bloody skull or a demon skull or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's a demonic skull that you can put in your pocket slot. You know, easily accessible. It's not some rare drop. You simply just buy it from the Zamorakian mage that teleports you to the abyss. You wear it in your pocket slot, I believe. And, you know, it automatically skulls you, of course, but you receive 5 times the amount of experience. So this obviously is much quicker than RuneSpan experience-wise, but that's not necessarily a fix to the usefulness of the skill. You're basically just adding another way to train it, so you're basically getting everybody quicker to max. You know, you're not really enhancing, you know, the utility of the skill. You know, off the bat, and I've really been thinking about this off and on for quite a while. Honestly, really ever since they, you know, introduced the update with the whole runecrafting curve back in 2009, it is, I believe. Still slightly bitter about that, but my runecrafting days are long since over, or long over, I guess I should say, especially for making money. So how could they improve this to make it a lot more useful, or at least make it more appealing to train, other than just getting your max cape, of course, or, you know, making money, which is actually fairly fairly hard to do these days, obviously, with runes and all the PVM coming out. So basically, this is kind of what I thought. You know, short explanation is it's kind of hard because this way sort of fragmented a little bit more, and I've never been a fan of the whole rune essence and pure essence, but possibly, and I'd like to see what you guys think about this, is, you know, sort of adding an element, as we've seen with herb lore, with extremes. Basically, when you can have the option to create a more powerful, not significantly powerful, but, you know, it will give you an edge in combat. You know, if you craft your own fire runes, if you craft your own death runes, etc., you can have the option to make like a superior version of that, which is untradeable, but it will be a lot stronger in combat. So that would encourage people that are slaying, that really want to get it done quick and do it, you know, bossing or what have you, to maybe spend a day and go and craft your supplies, go runecrafting, just get your own stuff, because it will be more powerful than it would be if you were to just get it via Slayer or buy it on the Grand Exchange. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some problems with this, but that's really what I think, given the current state of the skill, you know, is going to be one of the only ways that really make it appealing again, because really it's not necessarily useful. It's not, oh, I'm going to go runecraft, so, you know, it can be better for me, you know, other than being an Iron Man. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that you are on the right track with that, and I think the simplest way of implementing that would be just allowing all crafted runes to come out as non-tradable. Then if you mm-hmm. want to trade them, just have a right-click convert option, and it makes it the tradable, less powerful variety. Though I don't know if focusing back to combat is the right idea. Pern, what do you think about Dave's idea and runecrafting as a whole?
It's an interesting idea. It's not one I'd sort of ever thought of before. I thought more along the lines of being able to imbue, you know, depending on the level that you have, you can imbue your staff and give it sort of a couple of levels more on either sort of an elemental, you know, if you imbue it with air runes, if you imbue it with fire runes and such. That was sort of my thoughts on runecrafting. The other thing is, we had a while ago when they nerfed the drops on fire runes, because there were so many fire runes coming in. So, you know, everything pretty much stopped dropping the amount of fire runes they did. I mean, even fire giants, you barely get any there now. And that sort of helped lift the price of runes themselves. When I first started this game, seeing someone with a 99 runecrafting cape, you were in awe of that person. It's like, wow, how did you do that? You know? And then RuneSpan come out. And I think the first 6 months of RuneSpan was ridiculous XP until they sort of
nerfed it. Yeah, it was.
You know, and it really sullied that cape. I feel that, you know, it wasn't like the wow factor when you saw someone with it anymore.
And that, in my view, is what this game needs. We need more slow skills like runecrafting. Because there's a story behind why runecrafting was like that. And it goes back to the days of RS Classic when skills were painful to get to 99 because that's just the way that Andrew designed them. And runecrafting was designed coming into RS2 to be a brand new skill for this new game to fill in the void of smithing, allowing melee people to create their weapons, crafting and fletching, allowing the rangers to do their own thing, and then, of course, runecrafting to create magic runes. So that is the story of the origin of runecrafting. It comes out of RS Classic, and that's why it was effectively a RuneScape Classic skill in RS2 for so long. So, and I think that's what made it unique, and that's what made it so alluring for people like Dave to go out there and train, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I really wanted to get that cape because I wanted to, you know, be set apart. You know, you saw so many cooking capes, so many fletching capes, so many fireman capes. It's like, wow, I really admire the people that had, you know, the Slayer capes, because back then that was also a pretty tough one to get. It's like, oh my gosh, even having an 85 Slayer was pretty awesome because you get a whip and whips are 10 mil. That's combat. But yes, I mean, that was something I hardly saw any. I was like, wow, I really want to get that. Like, that's a huge goal for me. And, you know, that's what brought me to the skill. It was, you know, it was very unpopular. Nobody really liked it. And I, you know, I could actually strike up quite a few conversations and I made friends over it because, you know, I'd be doing my own thing and I'd have my, you know, runecrafting cape on and people would say, hey, what'd you do? And we'd strike up a conversation about how I trained. I'd give them pointers, you know, stuff like that. And, yeah, I really enjoyed that skill because of the fact that it wasn't just a, you know, an AFK, you know, sit and watch Netflix or what have you while you train. You know, you really had to focus and you really had to put the man hours in to accomplish that end game goal. So,
all right. Yeah.
And further to what Dave was saying before, where these untradeable runes, you know, something like combining, you've got your combination runes of water and air and for steam runes and things. Why not do something like a death and blood rune that you combine, which is a little bit more powerful? You can't trade it. You can only make it yourself. A, that would save you an inventory spot. But B, have it where it has an extra 5% crit chance or things like that. You know, that type of thing that they could do and really breathe life back into it. Another thing that I think that really killed runes is, much as I love EOC, that the abilities do not use runes. Like I'll take down 1,000 runes on a Slayer task. And I'll come back with, you know, 960 of them.
Right. And
because
remember,
you're just firing abilities
also
all
the time. That the combat spells in the evolution of combat were taken away of using their catalytic rune. So you no longer need the mind, chaos, blood, and death runes to fire off the basic spells. You only need the elemental runes.
That's right. So, maybe they look at making more combination runes that gives you that extra crit chance and, you know, maybe more accuracy or things like that. That would be something that would be great to see.
Yeah. All right. So I think that we do have a consensus that runecrafting as it is right now needs some encouragement to train, and a way of bringing back classical runecrafting is already in game. If only we could have a bit more of a reason to train it, aside from, you know, just going to the Grand Exchange and buying runes, which I think answers the question that runes are still dropped probably too much by creatures, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
And I think also that they tried the demonic skull that they did, that was more to try and encourage people to do that, but also for that PvP community, so people can go hunting those runecrafters. I don't think they really did it for runecrafting itself. It was more to try and revive that PvP community.
True, very true, because I do remember that was a key point in the news post, that if you kill someone with the skull equipped, they will drop 500k.
Yeah.
So, All right. Well, there's runecrafting, some ideas about how it could be improved. On to summoning now, which is known as the great pouch-making skill, which isn't probably doing too much for our own good talking about summoning. So I'm going to just ask you guys flat up here. Is summoning useful?
Yes, I would say so.
All right. How about you, Mr. Parnassius?
Yeah. I mean, I love my pack yak. I mean, that's the main thing I use. I occasionally pull out a Titan in combat, but for skilling side of things, yeah, I've always got my pack yak out. So,
all right. So
I'd say yes. In the high levels.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely in the high levels. If you're training agility, there's the light familiar that you can use in the Prif agility course. There's also the divination familiars for holding more energies before you need to go dump them in the rift.
I've got the Nightmare Muspa out, which as well as doing that gives you, it pulls extra energy out for you occasionally as well. Yep. So that's
we also have the Ent, which increases yields from fruit trees, which is good for anyone who farms. So lower levels, maybe not so much, but summoning as it is seems pretty useful. What do we think about its pouch-making mechanic? I think that we are at a point where we accept that as the way summoning is.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no arguing it. I think it is what it is. Obviously, there was a little bit of controversy or I guess debate on, you know, it being such a, you know, stack and then plug skill. But, you know, it works and you have to obviously train it by combat, but you do actually get quite a bit of skilling rewards afterwards. So it does tie into both sides of the spectrum quite nicely. So,
all right. Fishing.
One of my favorite skills.
Okay. Is it useful to you?
Again, high level, yes. Rocktails are about the only useful thing. And again, we get so much drop. I mean, you'll go bossing and you know, you'll get 147 lobster drop. And I think that's a rare table drop, but that seems to happen so often. Again, when people are going bossing, they are, they're getting so much food. Fishing was there to bring food into the game for PVMers to buy and eat and heal up. Now they just go to the bank and they heal automatically. You have three abilities on your bar that heal you. You've got the Enhanced Excalibur that heals you. There's not the call for food as there once was. Now, so saying, rocktails still are around 3K, I believe, cooked on the Grand Exchange. So they've held their price. But most other food, I mean, shark, I think, is about 800 GP now. Again, I think it's partially useful, but not where it could be.
Okay. And I'm betting that what we're seeing here could ultimately be fixed by tweaking drop rates from PVM, because once again, we want a synergy between skilling and PVM.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm good with that, and I think that accurately summarizes my views as well on the fishing skill. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cut and dried, again, pun intended, with fish. But it is what it is. I think it's, you know, it has its place. And, you know, quite surprisingly for, you know, every level. I mean, it's useful at level one. You get your shrimp. I mean, you use it as food as your combat. Yeah, as your combat progresses, you know, there's really a food that is relevant to your level, assuming you've kept both in line, you know, all the way up, obviously, to 90, 95. And, you know, rocktails are still quite high in demand, especially since, you know, how does it relate to combat? I think it ties very nicely into combat because the combat is obviously creating that very high demand of the fish. So, I mean, you've always been able to at least make money, you know, fishing the higher level stuff. When sharks were the highest, they were pulling in the same amount of profit relatively that rocktails are now. So, you know, the fish and food have always, well, obviously fish, you know, in the case of fishing, have always held their value relevant to what the highest is. They've never really sort of lost that value. The only time that, you know, sharks started to drop was obviously because we had higher level fish. So it kind of has always played out, but I think it's a very stable skill. And, you know, of course, there's things that can be done to, you know, improve, because there's always room for improvement. But, you know, overall, I think it's definitely useful as it currently stands.
I think, much as I hate the Prifternus fishing area because of the way it is, I think that has helped the profitability, because so many people now just do the fishing
point.
There. So you're not bringing in as much rocktail as you used to.
The actual raw resources, yep.
Yes.
So, does anyone know when waterfall fishing came out?
About 12 months ago, was it?
Let's see. Prifternus waterfall fishing.
I know I hated it from the day
they announced
it.
Yeah, me too. We should know these kind of things, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm trying to – I can do a comparison on values here, so I'm not sure exactly when it was released.
I remember when it was not long after Evolution of Combat come out, and you sort of had your healing at the bank, and rocktails dropped to about 800k. I was just watching them crash and crash and crash, and I had over 10k of them, and I'm sitting there, no! So I just sold the whole lot. And then, you know, 6 months later, everyone's realized, well, hey, we still need these. And they went back up again. And I'm sitting there, I was cursing.
Okay.
Same with my Sarabrews. I ended up selling my Sarabrews so cheap.
Oh, no.
Because they were just crashing. And then, you know, again, 6 months later, they're up at the 2, 3, 4K.
September 21st, 2015. Rocktails were 2,700 GP back then. And on average, they've only gone up since then. So it actually has caused the prices to go up of rocktail. So
that was one thing I was keeping my eye on, because I love fishing, and I do most of my fishing at rocktails. I don't, because I'm already 99, so I don't care about the XP. That's one thing that I did know. But the sharks, again, my monkfish are worthless now. I used to, when you used to fight, you used to run back to your bank. You'd pull out a couple of monkfish to heal yourself up. So that sort of kept
them. It was kind
them.
Of the quick fix, yeah.
That's right. Now you just go to the bank, open it up, and you're healed automatically. And I really wish that they would take that away.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay. So fishing is good, but it only needs a few tweaks from the PVM side, much like some of the other skills we've been discussing. Yep. So on the same food front, what about cooking?
For my mind, it's not bad, but there still is not the demand that there used to be, because there is a lot of cooked rocktail drops. But still, overall, you know, with the profitability of rocktail, I think it is still a useful skill in that regard. And again, there can still be tweaks and fixes done to it, but in my mind, still useful.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, cooking as a whole is one of the classic skills that you use for, you know, leveling up and making money along the way, because, you know, you might not want to necessarily sell the raw ingredients out there, and in very much the same way, I think it just mirrors fishing perfectly with its, you know, level progression, with the way it's used. And if you want, you can cook your own thing, but if not, you can purchase from other players, which is behaving exactly like it should. And it suffers from pretty much the same thing as fishing, that is that the fish comes already pre-cooked in some of the drops. So what do you guys think about the drop rates of raw fish?
I think that goes hand in hand with what we touched on with mining and smithing, being that obviously it's better for the raw resource to drop as opposed to the processed resource dropped. Raw fish is – sure, that takes away from fishing, but it's better than dropping, you know, the cooked fish, which is eliminating both – you know, both chains or both parts of the chain, rather than just eliminating one, because you still have that demand for the coupling skill that it's, you know, obviously paired with. I think regardless, the quantity needs to be limited. But again, I think it's a lot better for them to, for monsters to drop the raw resource rather than just eliminate all skilling altogether.
All right. Well, while that's cooking.
And that's what he said, and that's what we said the same with the mining and smithing, drop ores rather than bars, because at least you still have to train one thing, and as a general rule, you know, you will have your fishing up pretty much on par with your cooking anyway. I mean, I don't know anyone who's got, you know, like 40 fishing and 99 cooking.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think when it comes down to it, as long as the raw fish is dropped in a sane amount, there's nothing to worry about.
That's right. And if, you know, like I think at Araxi, I think you can get a drop of 12 cooked rocktail. Make it raw rocktail. So the PVMers will still make their money because they can sell the raw, but then the person who has cooked it can make money back because they've fished and cooked and, you know, they're getting their they're getting their money for cooking it, so they're making money off their skill.
Alrighty. So, wood cutting. I think wood cutting, as it is right now, we need to have a larger look at the down channel products that come from wood cutting, namely the fletching and I guess primarily just fletching and maybe fire making. But level 75 to cut a magic log, and that gives you a level what is the magic longbow? Is that 50 or 40 now? I think it's 50.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Okay, yep. So that gives you a level 50 bow. It's not nearly as pronounced as the disparity with mining and smithing is, so it's not as bad. But aside from people leveling up, who is going to be using a magic longbow?
Right.
So with that being said, I am struggling to think of an end product result for wood cutting that is valuable aside from the nest you're going to receive on your way to 99 wood cutting.
Right. And I think this is a prime example of what could see a carbon copy of the mining and smithing. You know, obviously mining being one of the, you know, core and dare I say primitive gathering skills, you know, as well as wood cutting, obviously the highest log or, you know, one of the highest logs that is deemed to cut obviously is,
Elder.
Yes. Elder. But you're not seeing too much in terms of making weapons or ammunition with it.
And the reason for this... logs.
Sorry, go ahead.
The reason for this is it's all dropped by combat critters. Every good bow past level 60 is a combat bow.
Right.
So, I mean, I think what we could see is we could see more trees brought into the game, more types of trees, and shuffle the levels down a bit, and then, you know, kind of do the same kind of thing, though not nearly as drastic as the mining and smithing rework, except with wood cutting and fletching. Because, I mean, come on, what kind of good bow do we have at level 80 or 90 plus that doesn't cost an arm and a leg?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, as I was saying, I think this could see the exact same treatment that, you know, mining and smithing is, you know, if it takes level 75 wood cutting to chop the logs to make a level 50 bow, obviously there's a little discrepancy there. So I think it could stand to, you know, see a little bit of a squish down to its relevant, you know, fletching counterpart with what you make with that. And then, you know, maybe bring in two or three new trees to sort of fill in the gaps. You know, we don't necessarily need to see a complete, you know, table rebalance, but I think they can at least, you know, squish down a little bit and sort of fill in the gaps the same way they're doing with mining for sure.
How about you, Pern?
Yeah, this is another one of my sort of pet skills that I like. And again, we're looking at the drops off bosses. Say, look at Araxi, for example. He drops the entire Araxite arrow. If you go to Dark Beast, it drops the dark arrow heads, and then you have to attach it to the shafts yourself. Yet if you go to Araxor, you get the entire arrow. Why can't we have Araxor dropping the Araxite heads, and then we need to fletch elder logs or magic logs into Araxite shafts and give some purpose? And again, that's bringing skilling back in to go hand in hand with the combat. I mean, magic logs, I remember when they were, you know, 1500, 1300. They're now down at around the 600, 650 GP.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and how long it takes to cut those. Elder logs, you cut at level 90 and they make the level 60 shield bow.
And it's like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
Like back in the olden days, 2005 olden days, one of our forum moderators got level 99 wood cutting and bought a party hat by cutting magic logs from 75 to 99. Granted, yeah, party hats were only a few million back then, but it kind of shows what kind of wealth you were able to get outside of that skill if you were able to, you know, absolutely, get one of the most expensive items in game.
That's right. And this is what I need. We need the skills to go hand in hand with combat. Stop dropping the complete items, you know, drop parts of it and let, you know, let the skillers complete it and refine it, you know. Even with your dark bow, to upgrade that to the strike bow, you go and you kill lava worms to get the skull. Why can't we have, again, while you're chopping elder logs, there's the rare chance of getting something to enhance it that that'll do something to those bows. And just add an attachment to give them extra accuracy or extra strength, you know, something like that. Just to combine the skill with the combat is what I really want to see.
Yeah,
just strive to sort of foster that ecosystem is really kind of the goal with everything that we're, you know, discussing here for sure.
Remind me, what's the level 80 crossbow?
The level 80 crossbow is the chaotic one.
Okay, and that's the only level 80 crossbow, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you've got the 75 armadillo crossbows and offhand crossbows. All right.
What was the strike bow that came out last year?
Strike bow is 85, and that's a shield bow.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So, you know, that's I was basically trying to look and see if there was anything at level 80 that could be bought, you know, with in-game currency, and there's not currently. And if we just jump all the way up to level 90, the Ascension crossbows are still 54 million for the main hand, and, you know, way too much for both of them combined, so... All right, so obviously I think we kind of attacked woodcutting and fletching there on the same vein. So woodcutting and fletching in for a rework, kind of like mining and smithing, though the situation's not as bad.
Correct. Not as bad, but would definitely need something because it's, as it stands, standalone, they're not overly useful.
Yeah. Me personally, for my farming escapades, I would not mind having a tree that had a higher chance of giving me nests at a much reduced rate of XP. I already have level 99 woodcutting, and, you know, I just want nests, and it makes sense that the seeds come from other trees, right? So absolutely, maybe the whole nest mechanic could be looked at as well for a way of, you know, just increasing that farming synergy with the woodcutting skill. So there's just another option I threw out there. Then, of course, unlike other skills, woodcutting also has two main downstream skills. And the other one, of course, is fire making. fire making. We were discussing this pre-show, and basically the only reason we've come up with for fire making is leveling it to 99 because you don't need fires anymore to cook.
Right.
And someone can come up with an innovative idea for fire making outside of the bonfire minigame, the temple or the beacon bonfire minigame, I have no idea.
Right. Okay, so this leads me to obviously what I was speaking of during the pre-show, and it's definitely not, you know, an end-all, catch-all fix, but it's definitely something that I've found interesting that I've thought about is, you know, we could tie this directly in with perhaps cooking, but also more importantly, smithing. Why should we just have a basic furnace like we have a range? Why shouldn't we be able to, sort of fuel this furnace and get this furnace working to a certain degree or level to enhance our smithing?
Your idea is already in the game, Dave. It's called the blast furnace, and no one uses that.
Well... okay,
wants to see it on all furnaces.
This is true. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you making a dead minigame is definitely not the way to do it. But I think there's potential, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but there obviously hasn't been any other innovations in the strides of fire making. But, you know, be able to, obviously, since making just actual fires is kind of out, you know, bring that back since everyone's using ranges now and everyone's using furnaces. Incorporate the skill, make it useful, create that sort of demand. You know, even if it is just recoding a part of the game to make it better. And of course, if we're doing that with, you know, as we've seen with cooking, obviously that's already been in, you know, part of the mechanic of the skill is the, you know, the burn rate and the success rate. Obviously, if we did that with smithing, it would have to be looked at on how they would implement a sort of, you know, success rate. Obviously, we have with iron, you know, you have a chance to fail, you know, 50%, what have you. But you kind of have to be careful with that because if you get the really high level ores and you only make a willow or, you know, a certain tier low level, you know, log fire in the furnace, obviously you're going to be wasting that ore. But, you know, obviously there are different mechanics they could put, you know, in place, whether it be speed or efficiency or, you know, what have you. So.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, they have removed updates in the past. Rat bits, they could remove the blast furnace and just bring it out as a fire-making add-on to all the other furnaces in RS as a part of the smithing update. I think that would be a stupendous idea. It would be great.
Furnaces and ranges.
Yeah, furnaces and ranges, all right.
Right.
And, you know...
And, you know, of course, it's not a catch-all. You know, it's not going to completely revive the skill, but it's going to breathe a little bit more life into, obviously, what is completely absent at this current time. And if that goes over well, that can, you know, again, be a field test to see what kind of stuff they could implement, you know, into the game further down the line and, you know, how they can sort of breathe more life into the skill and give it more utility other than getting your 99, 120, and completionist.
Right. And I think that... You know, Keldingrim already has its own set of uses. It doesn't need the blast furnace to be a landmark on the map. It's got, you know, the dwarf traders that you can thieve from, which are just excellent past level 90. It's got that little mini game I'm forgetting the name of right now that lets you get the golden pickaxe kind of thing.
Oh, yep.
I forget the name of that. What is that? I don't know. But
the lava mine.
The lava mine, right. And it's also got the NPCs that drop the dragon pickaxe, which is still surprisingly rare. So I don't think Keldegrim needs the blast furnace as a landmark because it's not the main reason people go there today. So I think you could safely remove that.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with, you know, the mining and smithing rework coming out, you're going to have the, you know, intensely higher level rune or ores, rather. And, you know, Blast Furnace was a decently efficient way to train back in, like, 2007 when Rune was still high in demand. It wasn't dropping off of every single Slayer task. Obviously, the demand was there, and people wanted a little bit of change of pace from, you know, going back and forth to a regular furnace because, you know, the closest thing to efficiency was, you know, running back and forth in Alcarid. But obviously, as we've seen... you know, with frat pits, blast furnace is definitely dated. People are looking for more efficient methods. And I think what better way to, you know, sort of breathe more life into these methods than sort of incorporating a rather useless skill. So,
all right. Well, that leads us to crafting, the skill that rangers are supposed to use to create their armor, little jewelry to give your players neat little side effects for critical chance and extra strength bonuses. That's really what jumps out to crafting as me as the purpose of this skill. But, I mean, I think this skill falls in the same ballpark as fishing or cooking, where it only needs a few minor tweaks.
Yeah, I call crafting the music skill now because... Most people just sit at the harps and get it up. And that's how I won the last month's crafting. I just did it all at harps. I sat there AFKing harps and, you know, I did almost 6 months. And I didn't do it every day either. You know, you could quite easily, I say, get, you know, 30 mil in a month if you just sat there all day every day doing that. And it's crazy.
Yeah. The only things I would like to see done to crafting is more useful, you know, ranged armor, just like we've been asking for with the smithing update and for fletching ranged weapons. So I'd ask for more ranged armor. I'd also ask for more untradeable jewelry that requires people to use their crafting skill to get it, because as it is right now, you can get basically the Onyx if you're just using a Fury as an example, or the Hydrix, then use your crafting through that. So I'd like to see more jewelry options, because I remember when rings and whatnot first came out, they were actually quite an interesting thing, and later bracelets. So I think and if you things went down that path, it'd help quite a lot.
And I'd love to see things like, you know, with a high level crafting, you can combine two rings. So you could, and sort of a non-combat ring, like your Ring of Wealth, and add it to your Ring of Vigor, or, you know, one of those combat style rings with crafting. As you said, more, you know, just making more useful items that way. And again, this could tie in with what we were talking about, the mining and smithing rework is, you know, we said you can smith the top for one and craft the legs for another skill to augment, so you can raise your invention. And this would be a perfect opportunity for them to do things like that.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, well, that's not nearly as bad as mining and smithing or wood cutting and fletching.
It's still fairly useful.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next up is Herblore, something I'm currently working with. I found that the best way of training Herblore currently is by way of combination potions. Of course, this depends on market fluctuations. So I'm currently like the Super Prayer Renewals, which are working okay. I am in the attempting to get the Superior War Master Potion, which is basically a combination extreme potion, just because that's, I think it's like 500 XP per potion, and you can make a good number of them per inventory, so that's great. But aside from that, the update that we've been asking for with crafting, fishing, and cooking, and that is, you know, having a synergy between PVM and skilling, was brought to us, I think, with the extreme potions and the combination potions with Prith, because we have to remember that the extreme potions are not tradable, and a very good chunk of the combination potions from Prith are also not tradable. So that basically means the player is on their own to create the potions that they need. And I mean, some of these high-end combination potions, you know, Searing Overload, Overload Salve, just to name a couple of examples, really are better than using a standard overload and your, you know, super anti-fire potion. So there is a reason for players, I think, to level this skill up. And I can't really think of anything that would make me happier to train Herblore than making it easier to get the secondary ingredients. That's really my only complaint with the skill.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's, again, this ties back to combat with all the drops of the herbs. So rather than them dropping, you know, 50 Lantodimes and 50 Grimy Dwarfs, why can't we have them drop 50 Nests, 50 Mortmire Fungus? Drop the secondaries and leave the herbs to the farmers to grow. They can drop the seeds and drop the secondaries.
Yeah.
Because I think we will all agree that seeds are, you know, there's no real way other than monster drops to get them other than nests.
Yeah, and
there's not
more
a lot
thieving
of nests coming into the game. Or thieving, but even then you don't get a whole lot as in what, you know, what would be required out there. So if they started dropping the secondaries for potions rather than the actual primaries, it would again create that, you know, the usefulness between smithing, between skilling and combat again. You know, you can bring more nests into the game. About the only potion I probably would say not to drop, not to take off, would be perhaps their Sarodomen brews. You know, I don't think there's too many that drop the actual Sarah brews themselves, but you know. Let's look at dropping secondaries instead of primaries all the time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, this was a problem that was brought in with the Slayer skill, because Aberrant Spectres drop tons of herbs.
So much, I know.
So,
and you AFK them. You, if you go down there with one of the legendary pets, Because they attack you, you only have to look at the screen every 5 minutes just to sort of move and make sure that you don't log out. But you can just camp there for hours and hours on end. They're all noted herbs, and I think really that has hurt the market.
Yeah, and though I mean, I'm kind of jumping ahead here to farming, but just as an example, right now the dwarf weed seed is around 1,100 GP, whereas the herb is
Wow.
selling for just over 4,000. And an
That's ridiculous.
average herb run gives you 7 herbs per, so that's about 28,000 net GP for a single herb patch, and that only costs you 1,100 GP to pull out. So you're making around 27,000 GP per herb patch right there.
Yeah. But do you remember when, it wasn't that long ago, they were like 30K for the seeds and the herbs are selling for 8 and 9K.
And I'm trying to think of the update that brought all these seeds into the market.
That was invention when everyone was just down killing ganos. I mean,
That's right.
I made millions on all my palm seeds and all those type of seeds.
Right. And I mean, do you guys think that the low seed prices are good or bad?
Low seeds, I think, are fine. I think the higher end seeds are for, I think lantodymes, dwarf weeds, perhaps Aventos, Ranar for your prayer potions, and obviously your Torstals. Shh. Oh, I remember when I first started the game, I got two Torstal drops at the Dagonoth Kings, and they were 250K a piece. I mean, how excited I was back then, because that virtually doubled my bank. Yeah, now you see a Torstal, and sometimes you wonder, do I pick it up or do I just leave it there? You
Oh, I
know?
always pick up my seeds.
Yeah, I mean, I pick them up, but I mean, it's that feeling you get. I mean, remember when Torstal weed was sold for 30 and 40K a piece? I remember just watching it drop. When it got to 14K, I thought, wow, that's ridiculously cheap. That'll never go below that. And now it's about 4K as well. Right.
Yeah,
For a Torstal. I mean,
4.7K today.
that's
So,
just crazy to me.
and you know, I think that the low seed prices are all right. And just to give you an idea of kind of the focus of the community, I was Googling around and I stumbled upon something that on a website that I won't say what website it was because we don't like them, but it was covering one of the developer Q&As that Jagex put out, and someone, a player, asked, "Is there anything we can do about the low prices of seeds?" So you can tell that this person is, of course, operating from the other side of the equation, where they're wanting to sell their seeds for a profit rather than use them in the skill, which I think if you made the seeds higher and you discouraged people from using them, you might shift herb lore and farming into a kind of a questionable position where it's not that useful. So I think that this is a dominant attitude in the game that everything is slanted towards the combat side. But that's just something I observed and I thought, that doesn't seem right. So.
Well, here, stop selling them on the GE. Make them, you can only sell them to a farmer.
Yeah, I mean,
He gives you a certain
like, look
amount
at the
for it,
price
and then the
here.
player has to buy it,
Like, all you got to do
pays
is,
20% more.
yeah, just go look it up, right? I mean, you put the seed in the ground and you get 7 herbs out of it instead. That's more profit. Sell the herbs. So, all right. So I think we can say then that herb lore is fairly useful. Yes.
Oh, very
Absolutely.
useful.
Yeah, in a good spot. All right. And then, of course, herb lore leads nicely into farming. So, 112 million farming experience right here. So, safe to say, I do have some experience with the farming skill. And from what we have talked about here previously, the seeds being dropped by combat critters, I think that's perfectly all right. And, you know, we go through various peaks and plateaus of the skill in terms of, you know, how much it's going to cost us to get a certain amount of experience. That's just the way it goes. And I mentioned in the woodcutting portion that I would love a tree that I get reduced XP from but has a higher rate of nests, mainly because the nests are the core source of the wood tree seeds and the fruit tree seeds, which are kind of rare compared to other ways of getting them dropped. Now, with that being said, I think that farming empowers Herblore, and it made Herblore a whole lot more accessible to people than it previously was before the farming skill came out, because with a little bit of dedication, a few times a day, you can easily fund or grow your own herbs for the Herblore skill. So I think farming's good from that angle. I think that the area where we do need to see more synergy on is the allotments and farming relating to cooking. And I'm content to allow the wood trees and the fruit trees to be, as you know, just the best XP out there for leveling the skill. So aside from maybe adding a few crops here and there, I think farming is in a good place. The seeds are in a good place from where they're coming from in terms of prices. Mm-hmm. And this is working nicely, the synergy between the PVM side and the skilling side. So that's my take on farming right now.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's probably one of the stronger, if not the strongest, synergies between just pairing skills. Farming and Herblore, I think, go hand in hand. Combination of, you know, herb prices and the encouragement to sort of Iron Man your way leveling both. It's definitely showing promise, and it's held, you know, it's stood the test of time, to say the least. Even when, you know, prices go down, it's still relevant, and either one or the other is pulling a profit when the other is down. So I think it's, I think they're both in very good positions.
How about you, Bernd?
Yeah, no, I agree there. One thing I think they do need to look at is perhaps our farming guild. Is one thing I'd like to see in there, which would give us more benefit. I mean, at 99 farming, I'm growing toad flax at the moment because I make my own Sarah brews. And, you know, and actually I'm at 110 farming technically, but, you know, I'm a maxed farmer. I shouldn't have 3 out of 6 patches of toad flax.
Yeah, I don't know here or there the other night, but I was complaining about the same thing. I was having that kind of problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and I think, let's look at sort of the skill itself is awesome. I think we do need a bit of an update for it in getting in, you know, the farming guild and introducing some new herbs and things like that just to enhance things. But overall, skill-wise, still very useful.
Yeah, the fundamentals are sound.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I'll mark farming then as one that is just good, as is Herblore. All right, something here I think we're going to be striking with Deep Red, the agility skill. Previously, when RS2 came out, agility was earmarked as the skill that would help you run faster and run longer. Well, not run faster, just help you run longer. And, I mean, what's your guys' agility levels right now?
99.
Okay.
If we're going virtual, it's 100, but yeah, 99.
Okay.
Yeah, virtual 102. So
basically then, I think that as maxed agility players, we don't feel a need for agility because our run energy recharges so quick with it. Also, the shortcuts around the game are all accessible, and we really don't skip a beat when we're using them. So I think right now the only core use of agility is increasing the energy recharge rate, which, I mean, you can say whether or not that's related to agility or not, but there's also shortcuts. So I'm not entirely sure how we would rework agility to be smarter and more useful across the board.
While I'm maxed on this account, my Iron Man account is level 83 agility. And I never run out of run energy on that either.
Okay.
So and as a whole, this is a skill I think they actually should look at tying in with combat now.
Yep. I was just going to say maybe incorporate it with attack speed. Take it necessarily.
That's right.
Still have the base, you know, attack speeds for the weapon types, but you can shave some seconds off with a higher agility.
You know, that's interesting you guys mentioned that. That's exactly what we talked about last week with Idle Adventures. That's what they did in that game.
Yep.
So now I guess with agility on that vein, how would we feel about adding other ways of training agility rather than just running around a circuit?
it would be interesting. I mean, they were talking about when Prifton has come out about having one where you're doing the whole area and you're getting doing different things in different areas, and then they ended up with just the Priftonus agility course up in the top there. So it'd be interesting to see, but you'd want to know what they're going to do and how it, how much benefit and such and think it's going to be.
I mean, there were obviously plans for an agility rework sooner than now, because when the new interface system came out in the middle of 2013, they had initially removed weights of items and the weight that your player was carrying, which players and fan sites mainly requested be put back because that was a field on all of our item databases. So I think that there's something in the works behind the scenes for agility. We just haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And of course, other things have taken priority. And I mean, I don't want to be Mr. Conspiracy Theory here, but what if the agility rework, for example, was pushed back because it was deemed not high priority enough because they had to put other updates out that would be palatable to the players?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, if it was to be sort of implemented into the combat system, speaking on alternative training methods, I think it would be interesting. We have our ways of distributing XP through combat. You know, we have attack, strength, defense, obviously, and hit points, or, you know, obviously range and mage if that applies. It would be interesting to have an option with agility as to where you would be a lot less accurate. You would attack very fast, but that would also sort of click when you killed things, you would click away at your agility XP. So, of course, if you are attacking and if it were to affect your attack speed, clearly to train it, you're going to be kind of hectic and reckless and, you know, doing what just kind of not exactly focusing, just trying to get it done really quick. But once you sort of build up that experience, you will be able to fight normally and be faster and, you know, actually be accurate. And of course, that's going to have a little bit of a conflict with attack. And, you know, we don't need to go recoding the combat and how that works. But, you know, just sort of spitballing here, if it were to be implemented in a combat, it would be interesting to see sort of a combat related training method. You know, if we're going to be sort of moving a skill sort of into the combat tree, so to speak.
All right. Pern, you have any agility ideas before we move on to the next one?
I think that's about it. I think it is really one that needs to sort of nail into combat. And, you know, with agility, just adding on to that, you know, it'll help you with your defense because you'll be dodging a lot more and things like that. So it'd be interesting to see. But, again, it would be low on my priority list for a rework.
Right.
Because, you know,
because it's just so unobtrusive right now. There's so many other things that require more work.
It doesn't make you money. It doesn't really, it doesn't affect any other area of the game really. So low priority, but fairly useless skill.
All right. So that leaves us with Hunter. I'm just going to throw this out there right now. I can't think of any real use for Hunter at this point.
Richard Chompers.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it. To be completely honest,
I was thinking about this earlier, and maybe Retching Chompers and Grenwalls for the Grenwall spikes to make potions there. Even those, there's so many coming into the game. Like I make my with the divination, I make the hunter node that you can do, and I'll generally pick up 30 or 40 of those every day. So. The Red Chin Chompers, I think, what are they going for? They're going for around 21.98. So that's about the only thing that's useful for.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's also the Skill Chin Chompers, I guess, which is interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't make up my mind about Skill Chompers. I mean, I feel like they're not really in demand, but they're definitely an interesting concept that I have used before, and it's kind of neat, but I just don't think the demand is there.
Yeah,
You're doing it for yourself. And again, it's helping you. Its real only use is to give you a little bit faster XP at other areas.
And they cap out a dragon equipment.
Yeah, and there's a skill on its own. yeah, you don't see a whole lot of use. I mean, Jadinkos for seeds down there to make. Actually, I didn't think of that in the herbal habitat. Hunting Jadinkos.
Yeah, that's a core way of doing that. Down there. So, but yes. Of course, there's also fire making and wood cutting, though slower. All right. And, you know, that used to be one of the fastest ways of training, and I think that has been now eclipsed by the crystallized spell with the Crimson Skill Champas.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Hunter needs work, and it doesn't really seem all that useful aside from Red Chinchampas. Is it a case of changing the mechanics of the skill or just adding something useful to the Hunter tables?
If you go back a little while, I mean, Hunter, you needed level, I think it was level 40 to wear the spottier cape and things like that, which helped with your agility, made you lighter and things like that. But there's just nothing useful for it anymore.
Mm-hmm. You have to be careful, sort of. Yeah, you have to be careful sort of reworking a skill because, you know, you get too far and obviously it's not going to be Hunter anymore. I think the only way to tactfully approach this is to, you know, as simple as it is, just add more rewards, add more creatures, and maybe a couple more methods to actually hunt and make, you know, just sort of, again, breathe more life into it. Because this skill is obviously, it's approaching 10 years old. I think it's right there with construction.
Yeah, end of 06.
Actually,
yeah, the same year.
I was going to say, I can save it for Shane. We hunt birds in trees for their nests.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Great idea.
And, but yeah, I think this is just another iteration of, you know, the construction issue. Obviously, it's seen a little bit more love along the years than construction has seen. But it's obviously quite literally in the same boat in terms of showing its age. I think it definitely needs a content update. I don't think necessarily the mechanics of the skill need to be changed. But I think that, you know, as we've seen with Herb Lore, adding the potions that are you need to be self-sufficient. You need that level. You know, I think that is the bare minimum of what needs to be done to Hunter to sort of bring it back and make it useful. Other than that, it's just really not producing anything that is in demand, for lack of a better term.
So it's not a mechanics change. It's just something that we need to add to the skill.
Yeah.
So it's probably in the same position then as, say, crafting, fishing, and cooking.
Sure, yeah.
All right. And then construction. We know a rework is already being prototyped for this, so I think we'll let Jagex do the talking for this. And I just guessing based on the fact we saw a prototype come out only a few days after the survey, that the construction rework for 2017 is going to be up there pretty high on the list of updates people have requested. So with that being said, basically what we've...
So one thing, if I can say, just about the construction update, is I think they got it right with the aquarium, where you can sort of place things anywhere.
Yes, definitely.
Rather than having hotspots. Now, as you know, I am on another podcast, RuneScape Weekly, and one of our guys over there, DXDLB, up on Rune Labs, he actually put something on there about this rework, and he was sort of looking at something more like in farming, where when you build, you have you're not just building, breaking down, building, breaking down. So if you want to build a room, it's going to take you an hour or two. You have Glauf, I think it is, the guy who's at those statues. Your monthly D&D,
right?
The prayer statues. He comes in, you use him, you build. So you'll get sort of a bigger XP drop, but you're spending the money on those rooms. And it's taking time to build things rather than just instantaneously building. So more like the farming where it's growing, these things are building. I thought that was a very interesting idea, and I'd like to see them sort of explore that type of thing rather than just hotspots. And, yeah, they're talking about just putting doors everywhere and, you make your own doors and things. But, let's look at sort of enhancing the skill more in that regard.
Yeah. And, one thing on that similar kind of wavelength is surface level construction. That was also on the poll for this coming year in 2017. Mm. So I do hope that one also gets in there, because that was actually the initial prototype of the construction skill way mm-hmm. back in RS Classic, surface areas where you'd build the POH, except now we already have the POH, so it's likely to be something relating to one of the skills in-game. So I think they could definitely also reboot it with that. So that combined with, you know, the hotspot update where you can place things wherever you want to put them, and maybe something along the lines of what you were discussing, Parnassius, there about having the gnome come in and then build something, and then over time you get some XP and experience in building for that. So I think that that would fulfill the purpose of construction, because we need to remember that construction as itself was designed as a utility that was having one of its pure purposes in game at the time was to act as a gold sink. So if it can do that and be fun at the same time, I think it accomplishes its goal.
Oh yeah,
I just like to have my own little garden in there, proper garden.
Yeah,
and I want to. At 99, I should have all three menageries be able to be built, so I can have all my different types of pets in their own little elements there.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. Another thing, of course, player own greenhouse for the farm.
Yes,
or for the construction. For the win.
We must push.
Yes,
I still can't believe that one, Nick. Or the aquarium one instead of that.
I agree. I was not for the aquarium. I seriously saw that on the poll. I was like, what? What?
Yeah,
why do we need this? That sounds so silly, but of course it won.
Although, I mean, I must admit, I do like the aquarium in the fact that I don't need feathers or bait anywhere now. The only thing is my minerals for the rock tails. But aquarium, greenhouse, it just... I couldn't believe that it won.
Yeah. All right. Well, JX has said the construction rework can be prototyped and will hopefully arrive next year. So we'll leave that as a substantial rework skill. And that brings us to our last skill, Divination, which came out in, I believe, August 2013. Or was it July? I'm not entirely sure.
I believe it was August, yes.
Okay. And Divination's whole purpose was to provide us with divine energy for the invention skill that was released into the world after Guthix's death. And then, as we all know, we finally got invention in January 2016, almost 3 years later. So I'm going to just go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say divination is fine as it is, and there's two reasons for that. One, it's a primary skill and it provides a resource, and that resource is not dropped by anything in-game currently, at least in huge levels.
Yeah. Right.
And three... it is the fuel for the current invention skill, which is still abundantly in demand for high-level weapons and armor augmentation. Because if you want, you can still go to the incandescent energy field and farm incandescent energy and still make a tidy profit today, even after the initial divination hype has died down a bit. Incandescent energy is going for 379 GP market price right now. So I don't think there's anything wrong with divination.
Nope. I think it started to fall off just a little bit before invention came to be, because obviously anyone that was in the sort of XP progression and going for max cape, they obviously paid mind to doing their daily divine locations. That was really the only main use, I guess you could say, for the energy and for divination as a whole, at least for the resources you collected from it. You know, of course, you had the sign of the porter and stuff like that. Sign of life.
All the time.
Yeah, the neat little gadgets you could make. But, you know, what really sort of nailed it down and, you know, tied it all together, obviously, was invention, insofar that there's very few... alone from the hard cap requirement of having 80 divination to train invention, there's very few items in invention that you can make or even progress without the use of this energy. So quite literally, you know, this skill is the foundation for another skill. So I think that in itself proves its usefulness, even if it is just required, whether or not it's fun or what have you. I think it holds its purpose, it holds its use, and it's very firm. And I really don't think that's going to go away because if with invention being an elite skill, there's still quite a bit of demographic that hasn't even accessed the skill. Yeah. So it's really sort of a trickle in
and invention's
effect.
Not even complete yet.
Exactly. So I think it's definitely going to hold on to its value and usefulness a lot more than other skills in the past have after release. So,
Parnassius, anything on divination?
Nothing more to add. I think they've covered it well there. In that, it's one that does sort of tie in well with the combat side of things for your augmentations and such. It does well for skilling with your porters and things, so I think it's a very good. It's a complete skill as it is, and I don't think there's much that needs to be done to it.
Yeah. Okay. Totally agree with that. And you know, I said incandescent energy, but the fact is, you can use any energy that you want with invention. So I mean, even if you don't have, you know, level 95 invention, and you're wanting to use the level 80 energy, so you can, you know, just get to using your own energy as soon as you unlock the invention skill. There's nothing wrong with that as well. So basically, north of 80, the energy is used for invention. South of 80 divination, you focus on the various skilling aspects that we just mentioned for divination.
But still, even if you are below 80 and you've got sort of a high level, the amount of energy that you're using cost-wise is still works in par with making your charges and things like that, so you can still make decent money from it even at lower levels.
Yeah. I think that the core example of this is just if anyone's needing money and you're a member, go out and hunt that divination energy, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So all right, so divination is as good as it comes. So that pretty much covers all the skills that we wanted to talk about. As we mentioned, we didn't really talk too much about the mining and smithing rework because we already know that's being reworked, so those two don't count. Dungeoneering is limited.
It's not a skill.
To Daemonheim. It's still a mini game.
It's a mini game. It's a big
mini game.
Combat skills we're not looking at today. And when it comes down to invention, it's not fair to criticize invention yet because... Well, it's still being worked on.
I just want my they promised us those machines where we could make pies and clean herbs and things like that. I'm still waiting for those to come out.
Yeah, yeah. So this discussion that we've had has yielded us with four skills that are perfectly fine as they are right now, those being summoning, herblore, farming, and divination. While skills that require a little bit of work, you know, inside of, you know, maybe controlling how much of their ingredients are dropped, or maybe just adding a few things here and there to the drop tables or the crafting tables, or the skill tables rather, are fishing, cooking, crafting, and hunter. While we would like to see a rework of agility, it's not a huge priority, unlike the other skills, whereas the skills that require significant work, in our view, to make them more palatable to the players, either by way of changing their mechanics or adding a lot to them, are magic, runecrafting, woodcutting, fletching, firemaking, and construction. So that's what we've come away with. And you guys will recall that at the beginning of the podcast, I asked you guys, oh, so what are our percentages going to be? And this comes out to around 24% of the skills that are useful right now.
If I was playing The Price is Right, I'd be up on the stage.
You would be. You would be. So does this surprise you guys?
I obviously, with my prediction, I think it falls in line with you know, what I had imagined. Obviously, if we're going to count the ones that have a or that need just sort of a minor tweak, we're going to approach, you know, the halfway mark a little bit more. So yeah, I would say that surprises me. You know, I'm not really surprised on the amount of skills that are perfect, because I knew that was actually pretty pretty low, you know, considering. But to see that really, you know, only half of the skills that we have in game that are, you know, classified as skills need a significant rework or, you know, rebalance or what have you. So yeah, definitely, it's definitely an eye opener, and it's kind of it's nice to see that it's really split. and it's not just a complete blowout that, you know, everything needs to be reworked.
So. Yeah, and I mean, some of them, especially magic and runecrafting, could be moved from, you know, a major rework or addition of content to just a few little tweaks and fixes here, like fishing and cooking. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I put the magic and runecrafting in skills that need more than just, you know, adding a few things or tweaking a drop rate, because we were talking about the different kinds of runes and, you know, making the lunar spells more useful. So that's why magic is there. And making runecrafting, traditional runecrafting, viable again is also why I put it in that category. So,
indeed.
I think that pretty much covers what we set out to do. Before we go, are there any surprises along the way or anything else you guys would like to throw in? Start with you, Parnassius.
No, I think I said there'd be three useful skills. And when I say useful, I mean things that don't need any work at all. And we ended up with four. I think it is the general consensus is we've pretty much got it right there. And there are a lot of skills that still need a bit of work. There are a few that need a lot of work. And one that is, as we said, we just don't know what to do with. And
yeah, but still, that skill's really low priority. That
much. Exactly. It doesn't really do much in game, so it's not a big issue. Yep. So.
How about you, Dave?
I wouldn't say too much surprises me other than the fact that, like I said, you know, it's sort of split down the middle. What I will say that I'm glad that it is everything is pretty even. We have about three or four in each category. We, you know, we have four that are perfect. We have, three that need a little bit of work. You know, we have six that need, immediate attention, you could call it. So it's nice to see that it's split up again, and it's not just this blowout that everything needs reworking or everything's sort of fine and, you know, only mining and smithing and construction need a huge rework. It's good to see because obviously as we can, you know, draw from this, they are paying attention to this and, you know, we're slowly approaching that equilibrium of everything sort of being in line. And I think, you know, it's a slow but steady race. And I think we're going to get there eventually, especially with the two that we've mentioned, obviously that need it the most are, you know, the mining and smithing, which is coming this year. And then hopefully if everything goes according to plan, we will see the construction in, the first half of 2017, which is really going to, you know, pick up a big core of how things relate to PVM, and then, you know, we can move forward from there. So.
All righty. Well, unless there's anything else burning in your guys' pockets, I think we're done.
I think that'll do it.
Does it, mate?
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us and sharing your time with us. We will be back next week on our regular schedule, plus or minus a day. And we will be introducing our new co-host for quarter three of 2016. So that's something we can all look forward to. And of course, with that, we'll also be discussing the ARC, barring any technical, holdbacks or issues on Jagex's end from getting such a large update out. So definitely should be interesting to witness that. So with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Thank you, Dave and Parnassius.
Yep. See ya. You.